You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. Today, we're going to share a conversation that I had with Tim Lehman. Believe it or not, Tim's somebody that I originally met through social media. We were following each other's blogs and reading about the amazing things our organizations were doing and became friends that way before we ever met. Now we've had a lot of opportunities to share together, to share our leadership. I even had the privilege of writing one of the recommendations for Tim's latest book, Our Evolution, Turning Crisis into Clarity and Igniting Growth. In fact, if you're looking for a great read from an authentic, transparent leader, I encourage you to pick up a copy. In addition to being a successful author, a great read online, Tim serves as chairman and CEO of Gibson, an organization that's bringing innovation to the insurance agencies with locations throughout Indiana. Under Tim's leadership, Gibson has been selected as a best place to work in Indiana, recognized as one of 20 Indiana companies to watch, and named to Inc.'s 5,000 list. Tim shares his passion for leadership through Gibson's blog using the hashtag, What's the Risk? A great tagline for an insurance guy. I'm so excited for you to hear leadership insights from this level 5 leader. Without any further talking from me, here's my interview with Tim. Hey, Tim, it's great to be with you today. How are things?
Things are great. I appreciate you having me.
We're excited to have you. You know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past is I'm fascinated by leaders who are leading in traditional businesses in untraditional ways. You know, I asked my daughter, Kelsey, who's 21, who's just come home from college, theoretically a bright, worldly girl. And I said, hey, tell me what you think of insurance. And she said, oh, that's easy. Rory Gilmore's grandpa was in the insurance business. And I thought, that's exactly what people think about when they think of insurance. They think of old and big, solid things. And where you all are solid and have built a great company, it's not Rory Gilmore's grandpa's insurance industry anymore. So tell me how you all have excelled so much using a pretty unique strategy that you brought to the company.
Yeah, Ron, you probably can't find a more traditional business than the insurance agency business. You know, the average age, the average owner age, you go on down the list. And you're right, we found the same thing. And many insurance agency owners are finding that their kids don't want the business, grandpa's business anymore. And, you know, I guess we kind of love that because it allows us to really have a great opportunity to excel. One of the things that we started addressing right away as we looked at where the trends were going is talent. And we needed to beat the industry trends. And then in addition to that, it's not like we're in Chicago or New York or San Francisco. You know, being headquartered out of South Bend, Indiana, it makes it even more challenging. And we struck up some relationships with 3 insurance and risk management programs, one at Indiana State University down in Terre Haute, Indiana, also at Ball State in Muncie, Indiana, and then at Olivet College near Lansing there in Michigan. And we put one of our senior partners on the relationship. We went all in. We donated money to the university. We sponsored events. We showed up. And we also realized we needed to communicate and talk with the students in their language. So my chief operating officer, Jerry Scott, actually is kind of known as Uncle Jerry at Olivet because if you checked his Twitter feed, almost every week he's given a shout out to one of the students at Olivet. Nice job on your finals, or can't wait to see you in a few weeks when I pop up there. And that whole thing has allowed us to just become a recruiting magnet for young talent that surprisingly, these kids all decided they wanted to be in the insurance business. And we're pulling number one draft picks out of each of those schools every year. And it's just brought a whole wave of energy and enthusiasm. And in our industry, our peers out there are like, how are you guys doing this? Because our average age and our long-term perpetuation now is, you know, we're really in a fantastic shape versus where we were before.
I think that's amazing. And when we see, it kind of doesn't really matter where you are in the country. If you're not in 3 or 4 or 5 cities around the country, You have the same problem. You have two baby boomers retiring for every millennial entering the workforce. So this focus on talent is really the only strategy I think that's going to propel companies forward. You know, but I know one of the things that you've focused on, a lot like us, at Gibson, you've been selected as one of the best places to work in Indiana, the 20 Indiana companies to watch. You're on Inc.'s 5,000 list. What is it about your culture that has generated this level of recognition? And is that part of your strategy for perpetuating and building the future of your company, your business, and really eventually the lives of the people that depend on you every day?
Yeah, Ron, I think there's probably three or four things that really come to mind when I think about our culture that way. And I know people say this all the time, but if you asked our people, they would tell you this about us. You could pick any one of them, and I think you would hear these same things. They'll tell you something along the lines of, it feels like they really care about me. You know, they invest in me. They want to see me succeed. You know, it's a personal relationship with my manager, with leadership, and so on. The second thing is they'll talk a lot about trust. Some will say that it comes in the form of having totally flexible schedules. We've had some people whose spouse gets transferred and they're still working for us. We didn't want to lose them and they didn't want to lose us. And they're 6 or 7 hours away now and do everything remote and it's going great. So they appreciate that we've trusted them to do that. And then the other thing you'll probably hear is something around clarity, that they know what our vision is. They trust the leadership. They know where we're going. They have a sense of how they fit into that and why it matters and so on. And wrapped all around that, the one other thing you would hear is probably something about our employee ownership culture. So we're an ESOP and all of our people get to participate in that. And yeah, the returns on that have been great and it's really helping build wealth for people. But I think what that really means to them is how big of a focus we have on the future and remaining relevant in a stagnant industry. So they know that we are focused on constantly perpetuating. We're not building this up to sell it next quarter or next year. We want this to be around for the next generation and the next generation after that. So those are the kind of the key things that I think you would hear if you talk to our people.
And I have had the chance to visit with your folks, and they truly are completely engaged. And when we look at Gallup's data, you know, that tells us 70% of the employees around the country in companies and government and business and churches, not-for-profits, are disengaged. What advice would you give to a leader, whether they're leading in the market or in not-for-profits, government, the faith-based community? What advice would you give them around building culture and developing this incredibly engaged team?
Ron, two things come to mind to me right away. The first one is about clarity. You have to have the vision. You know, I really believe that has to be driven by the CEO. You have to have this vision and you have to communicate it. You got to have a plan to achieve it. You need to have clarity on what your values are. You have to talk about them often. You've got to reinforce them. It has to show up in how you do performance management, who's allowed to exceed at the company. And there are people that shouldn't be there because they don't follow along with that. They're not there. So that total clarity around what you're doing, where you're going, why it's important, and reinforcement of that. That's number one. Number two, though, is listening. And listening, you know, just like communication, it's a form of communication. You have to kind of meet people at how they communicate and how they do it. One of the things that's been most valuable to us, frankly, about winning best places to work and so on, is the survey data that we get back from that. We are always so hungry to get it. And Ron, I'll tell you, we failed the first two times that we tried to win the Best Places to Work award back in 2009 and 10, coming out of the Great Recession. And the first time we said, oh, well, yeah, of course, nobody wins it in the Great Recession. But of course, they still gave awards out that year. We didn't win it. But next year, it'll be no problem. And in both cases, I mean, we had a solid foundation as a company. It's not like we completely whiffed, but we whiffed enough that we didn't get it. And that second time was just like, you know, cold water in our face to sit back and say, all right, we are not paying attention to what people are saying. And we have some little things that we need to work on, and little things and big things, but it's amazing some little things that can impact, you know, that big view of things. So that survey data, for instance, nowadays, it's down to the nitty-gritty. How we designed our flex programs are really built in mind with what do our employees really want. So we didn't just read an article that said, flex time's really great, you should do that. It's what would matter most to our people, and we structured it that way. And it's really interesting when you listen to people, give them what they ask for, they think it's really great.
Yeah, they're amazing, and they want to come to work and do amazing things every day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I think that's dead on. It's something you said there. You got the survey results back. You didn't pay attention the first time. The second time, though, you took it to heart and you got better from that. And I see so many groups that give up. It's the metaphor of the swimmer who swims the English Channel in the fog and gives up 100 feet from shore because they just don't know how close they are. But when you look at these evaluations, it's clear what needs to be done. But having the discipline to execute it, that really, to me, is what leadership's all about.
Yeah, it's challenging and it never stops. You know, we're not perfect and we have folks that it's still, in our leadership and our management area that you want to make it something that's on a list that you can check off. Okay, got the engagement done. Good, let's move on to the next thing. And it's not that way. And so it takes a lot of work. It's never ending. But the value that we've gotten out of that, and when I'm talking, I mean, I can tell you all about the soft value, but I'm talking about, it might just be a weird coincidence, Ron, but our financial results have just rocketed during the exact same time period that we really got serious about engagement. And I can tell you, I'm an absolute true believer. And again, maybe it's a strange coincidence, but I don't think so.
No, I agree with you. We have the same kind of results. And one of the things when we began to focus on it, what we found was we no longer were in the recruitment business for new team members. We're in the selection business. So then it became, how do we now know what amazing looks like? And so we can identify those people that have the same beliefs, the same talents, the same skills, and the same passion around amazing. So I think that's gone to a great extent because we know what the people that are on our team need. And I think it goes hand in glove. It becomes a virtuous circle. Now, one of the things you're great about and I truly appreciate is your communications. You know, you've mentioned it a couple of times, but even as a company, you all have made a commitment to communicate. You got a great blog where you're talking every day and using the hashtag, what's the risk? You've written an incredible book that you're generous enough to allow me to read the early version, Our Evolution, Turning Crisis into Clarity and Igniting Growth. And I know it's part of who you are to be a great communicator, but why have you used that, or how have you used that both externally and internally to build culture for both your consumers, potential customers, and your team?
Yeah, that whole process, and it really did start with writing Friday leadership blogs. And I realized that I can do this. I can pull this off. And boy, a book was really just a collection of a whole lot of Friday's worth of work. And before you know it, we kind of had it together. We really did want to inspire others, both inspire other leaders and inspire our clients and those in our community. I think you tend to hear so much, and if you're on Facebook, you read the news, all you hear about is all the really, really awesome stuff and all these great companies, and it seems like they pop up overnight and they kill it, and you sit back and you wonder, well, maybe, I stink, and we're never going to get this. And I realize that whole leadership journey, I mean, it took a lot longer, it was harder work and so on than I ever believed it to be, and I wish I could have read something or known something that said, no way, man, this takes a while. It's a long-term journey. So being able to share that story of our mistakes and especially my mistakes and what we learned and how we got it together was meaningful to me. Because, we'll hear from clients that say, oh, I couldn't do that in my company or that wouldn't work here or whatever. Well, geez, I got a great story to tell. We're in an old industry that doesn't communicate well. We're in a geographic area that's harder to recruit to. We have challenges as well, and we were able to make it.
Yeah, I give away lots of copies of your book to leaders that we're coaching and mentoring. And one of the things I tell them, I don't want you to look at the highlight reel of this book because there are some great successes. I want you to see what a vulnerable leader looks like. Somebody who says, hey, we tried this and it failed because I failed. Too many times we compare our day-to-day lives with somebody else's highlight reel. And I'm so appreciative of you writing in this really vulnerable place with the book.
It was a good process to go through. Of course, when you keep rereading your work during that process, you think it starts sounding okay. But then when it really became time to put it out there and make it public, there's that feeling in your gut like, oh my, I can't believe we're about to do this.
Yeah, it feels like you're a little, your Jerry Maguire moment.
It really, really was. So when we got to that spot and I pulled my partners together and I said, hey, look, I want you now to go through this and really read it. You lived it. You were there with me and you know all this stuff, but we need to know, what do you think and how do you feel about it? And some were gung-ho about it and some were like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe we're going to tell all of our clients this and share our dirty laundry and what are they going to think of us? And two of the responses from others in our group were great. One was from my predecessor. I talk about him a lot in the story, a guy named Greg Downs. He was like, trust me, every single one of them are going through the same stuff. They just are afraid to admit it. This will be great. And one of our other partners was a former client of ours and was at a big trucking company. And he said, hey, look, while I was working with you guys as a client, if I would have got this, I would have loved y'all the more even, because to see you that vulnerable and see you share that and to see that you care enough that you're always going to be trying to get better, that's who I would have wanted to work with and partner with anyway. So it was an interesting moment, and it turned out to be, it's been a really great thing for us. We've gotten a lot of great feedback, and our clients know our company and me even better. And I've been getting asked to speak a lot in town too, which is a lot of fun, and it just kind of further helps us too in our community.
Yeah, no, I think so too. It really gives people an insight into the culture of the company and the vision of the leadership. And, in these days, that's what you're buying. Where so many things in our life have become commodities, culture and leadership vision are the two things that cannot be commoditized. So I think it's a great book and a great read for people who really want to change their businesses. Let me switch to you personally. So what would you say the key to success of your personal leadership is?
I had to think about that a lot in the book because there was an appropriate time where, we wanted to recap some of this stuff. I don't think I'd really spelled it all out and articulated it and kind of crystallized it, but it came together when we were doing that. And really five things for me. One, first and foremost, was being resilient. This stuff is not easy. It takes time and it's never really done. You're always working on getting it better. And there's so many opportunities to throw in the towel and call it a day and outright quit. Maybe it's you decide to sell the organization. You do all kinds of different things. And those are all choices people make. But to hang in there and fight through, that resiliency is key. Two, the ability or need or have it thrust upon you to be introspective. It took getting multiple 360 reviews from my partners and the other members of our leadership team that were, some of them just horrendous. I kind of have to get hit in the head a couple of different times until I get it. And boy, you can only take so many of those till you decide you either need to leave, you're the problem, or see through it, listen, and commit to fixing things. So getting that introspection, whether you can do it for yourself and see those about yourself, which I think is a really tough thing to do, or you need to have other people that you can trust that will tell you and you listen to them and do something about it. The third thing, being adaptive. Everything is changing so fast anymore and changing in half the time it took for it to change prior. If you aren't willing to adapt and if you're just stuck to the old legacy, you're in trouble on that. Four, I had to really learn to be inclusive, and I'm a personable guy. I like talking with people, but opening up and being transparent and getting input and making sure people feel a part of it has made everything that much more efficient, better. You hear more things and everybody is supportive because they're part of it now. And I wasn't as inclusive in the past as I am now. And then the fifth thing, clarity. I have become a big fan of that word and more importantly, living it in everything. Clarity around everything you're doing is so key. You don't have to have complex. You don't have to have lots of it. It's here are the key things we're trying to accomplish. Here's why we're doing it. Here's where we're going. Here's what's in it for you. And I've tried to use that more, frankly, at home with my kids, with people I interact with, of just being clear about everything. So those five things have really been, I realized over my life, my career, those meaningful leadership traits for me.
I think those are great. And we'll include those in the show notes because I think those are the keys for leadership. We're coming up against our time constraint. And so I guess two last questions. I know you're a big reader. You know, what's the book lately that you've read that the leaders listening to this ought to know about and you ought to share with them?
Yeah, I'm reading Get a Grip right now. I'm almost done with it. Geno Wickman and Mike Patton. It was out a few years ago, and it's in that fable type of format, but it's really about developing something they call EOS. I think it's Entrepreneur's Operating System. And it really is a step-by-step of how you do a lot of things that we were talking about today, about building out a vision, putting your leadership team together, getting clarity. And I realized that as we've grown, I need to take a look again at how we're doing things. And my leadership team and I are going to use this as our format to kind of tweak things that we're doing right now.
Yeah, I know the book well and know Geno, and it is a great strategy. I've seen it work in multiple different industry sectors. So that is a great reference for our listeners. You know, if you could leave leaders with one thought, and it's hard to be a leader right now. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. It doesn't matter the economic situations. It's tough to be a leader. What would be that kind of final thought or nugget of wisdom that you'd share with them?
Yeah, I have kind of two separate things. On the business front, next to clarity, the most important thing is really that communicating, connecting, and so on with your people. This year, I really felt like I was, as we've grown, I've lost touch a little bit, just kind of sensed that. And so I set up one Friday a month and I call all my partners and we spend about a half hour or so on the phone. So today actually is one of those days and it's really great. It's unscripted. Sometimes they tell me about their kids. Sometimes they tell me about client issues. Sometimes they ask me what we're doing. And sometimes I just get asked them a lot of stuff and it's just been a wonderful experience. That communication is great. That's my nugget on the leadership side. Through all this stuff, something that's most important to me and I don't want to lose sight of, though, is my family is so important. And I think, and I'm a member of YPO, Young Presidents Organization, I see a lot of my peers chasing all their business dreams and they're immensely successful. But I also see way too much of it where at home with your spouse and your kids and everything, things aren't where they need to be. And I can't imagine getting all this success together and you know, you do all the right things at work and you learn how to communicate, provide clarity, and then you just whiff at home on that whole thing. And so I've really worked hard to keep the home life in good shape too.
No, I think that's probably the best advice anybody's going to get these days is remember what you're there for. There will be somebody who replaces you someday, and there was somebody who came before you in the business side, but there will never be anybody who has the role and responsibility to be the father to your children, to be the partner to your spouse. And I think that's a great advice. And, you know, Tim, you've been great to give us this time today and share with the leaders that we're mentoring and lifting up what success looks like. It looks a lot like a communicator who's willing to be vulnerable and work very hard every day. And I thank you for that.
Hey, Ron, thanks to you and your team. And I appreciate all that you guys are doing with this too. It's great to have somebody out there collecting these stories and sharing them with others.
Well, have a wonderful rest of your day and say hi to your team for me.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.
Thanks for listening today. I hope that you took away some great information that's going to take your leadership to the next level. In 2016, we're hoping to share more guest interviews on the podcast. If there's someone in our sphere of influence that you'd like to hear from specifically, stop by at ronkitchens.com and leave me a note of who you'd like to hear from and what questions you have for them. No guarantees, but we'll see what we can do. Thanks again for listening.